Hello, I'm Phil Clubley. I'm the current chairperson of the Kinesiology Federation. And as 2021 sees the 30th anniversary of the Federation, we've been celebrating by speaking to some kinesiologists and people who were there at the beginning of the Federation. Today I'm going to be speaking with Richard Beale, a kinesiologist, and he was there right at the beginning of the Federation's conception. Hello, Richard. How are you doing?
Hi, Phil.
So you were there right at the beginning, so one of the founding members deciding that the world needed a federation to bring kinesiology together.
Well, this country did, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what did you feel the reason for that was?
Okay. Oh dear. This takes a while, doesn't it? All right. So I'd been doing kinesiology about 10 years, I think, beforehand. There was a British Touch for Health Association, and I know I was the newsletter editor. I think it was of the British Touch for Health Association for quite some years. And there was an issue of sort of how do we support all the people doing all these different kinesiologies? Okay, in this country. And the thing is that kinesiologists didn't fit into what Touch for Health was. So it's all very well. I mean, Touch for Health was my basis, et cetera. But so what we had to do, what we felt like we had to do was to get a bigger umbrella organization sorted out with all the different kinesiologists in it. And I think there was also probably right at the beginning quite a thought that we should standardize training somehow or get a qualifications in kinesiology. We wanted to qualify ourselves because we were, there wasn't the qualifications in kinesiology, and if you weren't a chiropractor or something to start with. And so we all got together and talked about it. I do remember that there was quite a bit of a disappointment at the last minute when Brian Butler felt he couldn't join us. We thought he was going to join us as well. And if he had have done, of course, there would be just totally unified kinesiologists in the UK at that time. But we got on with it. Yeah, does that answer your question? Well, I've
It does. What were those first sort of meetings like? Because, we know a lot of sort of heads of schools, they're very strong personalities, big ideas of their own. How did that come together? Were there lots of discussions, or was everybody pretty much on the same page with the direction of that?
I don't remember, to be quite honest.
That's okay.
It's which I mean, all I remember, it's quite a long process, but we came together with a yeah, we were all very pleased that we got it together in the
Yes.
end, and we were going to go forward in spite of the fact of all our differences, because it was really about saying, yes, we do these things differently, but we're all kinesiologists. And then
Yes.
the question, what is kinesiology, of course?
Yeah, I mean that's brilliant because it shows how important kinesiology was for everybody, and still is for kinesiologists, that there was that clear vision. That everybody wanted to come together to make something that would make it stronger, I guess.
Yeah.
So before you started work with the Federation, you were clearly a kinesiologist already. What brought you to kinesiology in the first place?
Would you like to start from the beginning? Shall I start from the beginning, as it were?
The
All right.
very beginning.
This is a biography type thing. Okay. I would say it started when I was in my mid-teens. I didn't start kinesiology until I was 30, just to give you perspective immediately. And I sort of wanted to know what life was about. So I ended up doing a biochemistry degree because I thought that's give me answers of scientifically, because I was, as a proper scientist, I've gone in that realm. And after doing that degree, I was, oh yes, I became interested in basically how people got on with each other. So it's quite different from being a scientist and, you know, test tubes and things like that. And I was interested in various, there was a time when I was interested in various psychologies, like Jungian psychology and Reichian psychology and primal scream thing, primal therapy in my 20s. And one of the things that was interesting to me was Wilhelm Reich has this whole thing about, you know, repressed emotions end up in muscles. So I was always had that thing about muscles. Oh dear, let's see about muscles. And then when I was about 30, I suppose, I talked to, I was actually talking to a sort of a guy I knew because he was, who's a friend of mine was living in his house. And so I was just passing, I was saying, oh, how are you, Mike? And he said, oh, I'm wonderful. I've just been to see this wonderful woman called Natalie Davenport. And she did this interesting stuff to me with muscles. I went, muscles? Oh, muscles, that's interesting. I must find out more. So I talked to Natalie and she said, oh, come and see me. And I went down to, you know, where she was working in London. And she did this balance on me. And I went, did my proper scientist bit and say, humph, I said, humph. Well, I'm not sure I believe all that. How would I find out if that's true or not? She said, I'll teach you to do it. I said, really? And so she said, yes. So I just got together about seven or eight of us, and she came to the place we were living in. This was a sort of a bit of a community, by the way. But, and so she taught us. And it was wonderful. And I just sort of really got this, I mean, partly the teaching, you know, it's partly the how fast you learn doing kinesiology, you know, like this was Touch for Health, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, of course I've done an awful lot of learning in the past, and this was sort of like, just seemed like supercharged, very fast learning. And it was very much, very personal as well, what each person found out with another person. And the way you could, and of course, for a long time, I was very skeptical about whether the muscle, whether I was making it up, as it were, when I was testing muscles. And it took me quite a few years to really get confident in that. But anyway, I did the Touch for Health instructor training with Brian Butler and started teaching. And that's what I was doing for the first 10 years, I should think. I wasn't really practicing so much as teaching. And that was always my, you know, where I, my sort of, my emphasis with that. Does that, have I got there? Have I answered your question yet?
No, you did. That, I think that's fascinating. So did you carry on with your science job? Was there a point where you decided that actually you were going to step away from that and you could make a living out of kinesiology?
Yeah. I'm not sure how long it was, but it was about 2 or 3 years into after I started teaching that I thought, I can probably just, I can probably just give up my sort of science type jobs and just concentrate on this. And at the same time, I was having babies, you know, well, myself, my wife, you know what I mean? I was around, my friends were having babies in this community, and I was actually being quite a bit of a father, even though I wasn't the father. They're my sort of, we call them my goddaughters these days. But so I was complicated, you know, I was busy with, busy with young kids, and didn't have time to do the chore job. No, it's all right. So we ended up, just relying on teaching.
Yes.
And
so did you then move from that to become more of a practitioner after that? I know you said at the time you were teaching, did you then go into seeing clients? What happened after that?
I can't remember the exact sequence of that. I think I can remember the motivation, because I was quite purist about being just a teacher, as it were. And then I realised that if I wanted my kinesiology to develop, I needed people to practice. So it's always been for me, not so much I wanted to have a business of working on clients. It was more, I was just, you know, I'm just intrigued by people, how people yes. work, how I work. I mean, in a way, this is a, you know, it's a surrogate for how I work.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's learning about myself as I will learn with other people. It's the relationship aspect of it that I think is so wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. I think what keeps it endlessly fascinating for me is that every client's different, and so yeah. the experience of the session is different. And is does that still keep you interested in what you're doing? Are you still practicing now?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm still just find it endlessly fascinating. I just find it a huge privilege. I'm allowed to essentially play with other people.
Yeah.
In that particular way, and I mean, I don't mean in a a careless playing. It's very much very responsible playing, you know. But I think seeing it as play is helps. Do you know what I mean? Helps to sort of, well, I mean, that was the original experience of learning. There was a sort of element of play about it. And I think that's just really, really important.
I think that's true, actually. It's not something, I mean, I have a lot of fun with what I do, but it's interesting to hear it from somebody else that, and you think that actually, it is a nice thing to do, muscle testing. It is fun. It's fun to do it. You might be working with something that's very serious and you know, it can have a really serious effect for somebody, but it is actually a really good thing to do.
And I think it's really important because I work with, I've ended up working with really, really serious stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's times when people have got incredible damage, especially from childhood stuff, you know, and it's really important to have a bit of levity around that. Because if all you do is just, I mean, obviously you've got to be respectful of the damage and the pain and all this.
Of course,
stuff.
But you've
got to be able to sort of balance that with a bit of humour.
Yes.
Fine. Hopefully I get it right.
You know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My wife used to say, I used to work from home, and my wife used to say how it was interesting that clients would come in crying and leave laughing. And I always, you know, thought that was quite a nice thing. Sometimes good laughing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what kinds of transformations have you seen from kinesiology, either in your own life or in the lives of clients? Have you got any kind of stories around that?
There's one that sort of relates to a bit of confidence stuff. And this was probably about sometime around 10 years after I started doing kinesiology. And I was living in this village. And a guy came to me who had back problems for forever, hadn't been able to sort it out. He'd been loads of chiropractors and all sorts of stuff. And at the time, I'd recently been working, been learning from Alan Beardall with his clinical kinesiology, which is, you know, I've always thought it's some of the most thorough kinesiology I've come across. It's amazing stuff, very complicated. And so I applied some of these methods, you know, that I were relatively new to me, to this guy, and said, oh, come back in a little while, you know, a particular while, and he didn't, right? And I thought, yeah, well, probably a bit too much for him. Didn't work, blah, 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 right? Yeah. And 6 months later, I met him in the village because he was living in the village. And he said, didn't come back, you know, didn't really work for you. He said, oh, no, my back's been absolutely fine. So I didn't feel like I needed to come back. Somebody who'd been to all sorts of, you know, chiropractors and stuff, different people for years, you know, never got any help with that. And it sort of helped me a bit with the sort of thinking, okay, seems to work. You know, I think kinesiology has transformed me continually and continues to do so. The more I work with people, the more I grow. And I suspect that's true of all kinesiologists. Well, I hope it is. Anyway.
Yeah, I can attest to that as well. Yeah, I guess that's the thing with transformation in kinesiology is it's like, you know, I think for some people, especially if they come to kinesiology and they've never had therapy before, they're going to get maybe a bigger shift initially than somebody who's already been working on themselves. But I think, you know, that again is the beauty of it, that it is about growth and evolution, I think is a perfect way of describing it. because we are always growing and changing. And I think it's to do with continuation rather than a stop-start healing modality. You know, wait until you're on the floor before you do something about it.
Well, that's what we learned with Touch for Health originally, was the idea was to just almost have a bank of health, keep us topped up with health rather than let go, you know. The difficulty I have with the question, all right, what I see with people is not so much radical transformation, you know, something from 1 minute to another. It's more evolution. That's why I call what I do evolution kinesiology. It's often, especially when you're working with very deep stuff, it's often very slow progress, and you get sort of, you know you're making progress. Okay, I'll tell you a story about I won't go into the details, but somebody who's had intense pain was referred to me by my chiropractic colleague. She had intense pain in her body for a very long time. And she's quite old. And eventually the chiropractor got the idea that there was some underlying emotional stuff, referred her to me, and we worked with that. Okay, over a long period of time. And now her body isn't completely pain-free, but comparatively, it's like, you know, 10% at worst. You know what I mean? And that's huge.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, I suppose what I found is that there's always more. There's always more growth to do, and I see it as growth. I mean, the symptoms just tell you about, but there's, you know, there's something to do, really. I don't like this. I don't like myself hurting, my knee hurting, so what do I do?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know that stuff, so I'm sure.
No, it's good. It's good to hear it from you though, Richard. Absolutely. Yeah, that's fantastic. How do you describe kinesiology to people, or do you?
Well,
as a scientist, how do you describe it?
All right, good. As a scientist, I'm glad you. I've got my brain here. Look, I don't like that. Isn't Curry's brain? You might not know that. That's a Monty Python reference. Okay. I won't use the brain. No, it's much more fun to use me. All right. So the whole way I see things in terms of how people work. Is very much in left brain, right brain format, which you'll have heard a lot. And it's been the basis. I mean, I came across it, in educational kinesiology, 3-in-1, all that stuff, you know. And a lot of times we're working with left, right brain connections, corpus callosum and the ones under that. Oh, by the way, I ought to say that there's also a very big influence in this from Charles Krebs, brain integration stuff. I've done a lot of that with him. Anyway, so the way I see it is the left brain up here, I mean, which operates, if you like, the right side of the body, has, I actually think of it as having ego in there, right? But it has logic, it has discrimination, it has this or that, black or white, should I go left or right, it's got choice there. And the right side of the brain's got, it's got the words as well. The right side of the brain's got, it's surveillance, about surveillance. It's looking at the whole of what's going on around us. It's looking at relationships. It's looking at the body, but it doesn't have the words. It has the part of the brain that gives you modulation in your words, in other words, give you emotional tone to things, but it doesn't have the words itself. But the important thing about the right brain, which, you know, controls the left body, is that a part of it called, in this part of the brain called the parietal cortex, has a sort of a knowledge of the body. So if you have a stroke in this side, often what happens is people actually deny that their left side belongs to them. And it may be paralyzed, which is, you know, part of it, but it doesn't happen if you have a stroke on this side and the right side's paralyzed. You don't get that denial. It's called neglect sometimes. It's got a longer name, but I can't remember what that is. So there's a sort of an idea that the right brain has that map of the body, but it doesn't have the words. So I believe that what happens with kinesiology is we're tapping into this right side of the brain that has the knows the body, all right? And the muscle testing allows us to interpret what that side of the body is, what it knows, you know, and what it needs. Now, I go a bit further with that just to complicate matters. This is what I do is I'm looking for mostly in the brain healing system functions, but mostly in the brain. And I find healing system, they've come to me from working with clients over the years, and I sort of mostly work through those healing, getting those healing system functions balanced so that they're working properly. Okay, but that's sort of another part of the brain, if you like, more the deeper part of the brain. But mostly it's through the muscle testing allows us to interrogate that part of the brain. It doesn't speak and is largely unconscious, you know.
But yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's brilliant. I like that.
And of course, the really important thing about kinesiology is, and that's what makes it so much fun, is you've got this feedback, very fast feedback, that, you know, you can find out whether anything you do changes the muscle or not. And that's so quick. And I think that's why kinesiology has mushroomed, shall we say, and goes in all sorts of different directions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that is why it's so brilliant, because there are so many applications, which is why there have ended up being so many schools.
Well, I think I want to come back to that. Just as the formation of irrelevance, the formation of the Kinesiology Federation. My personal story is that I wanted it to stay, to have some sort of base, you know what I mean? Some sort of, I tried very hard not to go off into my own sort of kinesiology, but to do the stuff I've been taught, and to do it, you know, in a sort of disciplined sort of fashion and check it out and see if it worked or not, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the tendency is, and of course it's happened to me since then, that what for each person who starts doing kinesiology brings out in them their own, shall we say, genius. I don't mean to be arrogant about that, but it's sort of like almost like spirit. The spirit of them.
Yeah.
And then they create their own kinesiology, and that becomes a problem, because then if they've created kinesiology that's sort of way out here somewhere, how does it fit with?
Yeah.
Does it fit with the rest of kinesiology? And so my the Kinesiology Federation, I was involved with, and I think you've heard about it from other people, about education standards and things like that, and trying to figure out what is kinesiology, what we call kinesiology. And I ended up creating a new way of teaching kinesiology, which I called life care kinesiology, just so I could figure out how it worked. I mean, I didn't know I was doing that at the time, but that's effectively what happened.
Yes.
You know, and figured out how to do assessment and things like that for kinesiology, and it was wonderful. But what I wanted was, I wanted to know what was the core of kinesiology that everybody could ascribe to and start from.
Yes.
And that is, when I say I mean, it wasn't just me. You know what I mean? It was all of us wanted that. Well, what is kinesiology? What do we mean by kinesiology? I actually argued against the name. I have to say this. I'll put it on the record. I argued against the name because kinesiology has a scientific meaning, which is the study of movement, as opposed, especially around, you know, athletics and things like that. What muscles are used in what order? And of course, I think it's a bit of an Americanism. Sorry about that. I'm being a bit racist. But to make it sound complicated. You know, I think I that's why I called what I was doing life care, because it was nice and simple. But then I ended up calling it life care kinesiology, because I needed to actually link it back into the main the main stuff that everybody was doing. So it was just a struggle I was going through myself around what do we call this thing, you know. And it's absolutely fine. You know what I mean? It is what it is, and it's great, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that tendency for it to just become whatever kinesiology that makes it so hard, I think, partly to how to explain it to people as well.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I guess it's so personal for different people. It's like I see that in my own clients that, you know, two clients will have a very different view of what kinesiology is based on what they come to see me with. And so I just let them have their version of whatever it is that I do.
And I think that's a very important aspect also, that it is so personal. That's one of the great things about kinesiology. It's not a matter of saying, well, everybody needs this or everybody needs that. What does this person need at this time from me? Because if we have two clients, if we had the same client at the same time, you'd find different things that needed doing than I would. And that's fine. That's one of the beauties of kinesiology.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have you any advice for members who are maybe starting out in a practice or have been running a practice for a while? Because I can tell from what we've been saying already that you do have some great ideas, and I love how grounded you are about the work we do. I'm just wondering whether you have a little nugget of advice to helping, you know, for helping practitioners who are out there working now.
A nugget of advice? Just enjoy it. That's all. Yeah.
I like that.
No, I'm just distracted by you calling me grounded. That's not many people call me grounded. I mean, I work hard to be grounded. I have to be because I live where I live, and it's got very strong earth energy here. And as a scientist, I don't believe in that. But there we go. But I feel it.
So is there anything you want to add to what we've said before I close the interview? How are you feeling?
Glad it's done. I hope I haven't embarrassed myself tonight.
No, we're leaving that bit in. I love that. Okay. Richard, it's been really brilliant to speak with you today. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your knowledge. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed talking to you too, Phil. I mean, it's really nice to see you. You know,
yes, and you.
On the phone quite a bit before.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is a delight. Well, and I want to just thank you from loads of people for doing this. I think it's great.
Thank you.
Because I've really enjoyed seeing my old mates who I haven't seen for a while.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah, it's interesting how it's grown. You know, initially it was just, oh, let's do it to get people's, you know, to sort of celebrate 30 years and just talk to people. And then we've just sort of seen it grow, and it's been really nice to connect in with people and hear different sides of the same story, sort of thing. And it's been fantastically enjoyable.